Hello, welcome to the Capitol Press Room for Thursday, August 9th. I'm Susan Arbetter. We have a busy show for you today, beginning with author and biologist Sondra Steingraber, who is a signatory on a letter to Governor Cuomo from some unhappy scientists and physicians. Then we delve into the family leave issue, the paid sick days issue that has overwhelmed the New York City mayoral race. Diane Fish from the Adirondack Council shares some background with us on how the state went about the acquisition of 69,000 acres of land formerly owned by Finch Prine. We'll also be speaking with Connie Prickett of the Nature Conservancy on the issue. And our closer is Blair Horner of the American Cancer Society. He'll have some relative stats for us regarding the state's battle with cancer rates. It's all coming up on the Capitol Press Room. A group of professionals has released a public letter to Governor Cuomo today expressing disappointment with his administration's lack of response to their questions and concerns regarding hydrofracking. The first line of the letter reads, "Dear Governor Cuomo, we the undersigned scientists, medical professionals, elected officials, business persons, and economists protest the exclusion of qualified independent experts from the decision-making process to permit or prohibit unconventional development of natural gas from shale formations in New York." Two of the signatories on this letter join me today, Dr. Sondra Steingraber, distinguished scholar in residence at Ithaca College and the author of Raising Elijah and many other books, and Dominic Frangillo, the deputy town supervisor of Caroline and the founder of Elected Officials to Protect New York. Dominic, Sondra, welcome to the Capitol Press Room.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Susan.
So, Sondra, you state that the DEC hasn't responded to requests for meetings and hasn't engaged you in any dialogue regarding evidence provided to them by you. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. So, you know, I personally have sent communiques both to the DEC and to the governor's office and received no response to anything I've sent. And it turns out that my personal experience is mirrored by that of my colleagues, some of whom are highly esteemed folks, including Robert Howarth at Cornell, who has probably the best data on the greenhouse gas footprint of shale gas, who's presented his data before U.S. Congress and before the Parliament. He can't get an audience in Albany, nor can several prominent economists who have economic data that is in contrast with the data in the ESGEIS. And so, whatever, we now hear, of course, that the ESGEIS is now bloated to 4,000 pages, and that would actually, if you printed it out, would weigh 40 pounds, which is more than I could lift into an overhead bin in an airplane. And yet, the earlier iterations of this draft show that there are very small number of actually peer-reviewed scientific studies in the bibliographies. In fact, when you look at these bibliographies, what you see are industry reports. So what we're saying in our letter is that what looks like science is an infomercial, that these are arbitrary data dressed up as science. And it's alarming that we scientists, economists, elected officials, business people who have actual information and knowledge to offer can't even get our phone calls returned. We're certainly not sitting at Governor Cuomo's table. And in contrast with the new information that we're now hearing from Freedom of Information Act law, that the industry, on the other hand, has had the red carpet rolled out and has been this whole scientific quote-unquote process has been happening under their watchful eye. It really raises a lot of questions in my mind as a biologist.
So I want to parse some of this out. Are you alleging that the DEC is ignoring evidence given to them by you and other academics and scientists, or that you simply haven't heard back from the DEC about that evidence?
Well, certainly the second thing is true for sure. And we're worried about the first thing, right? Because we're kind of relegated, those of us who have sort of expert knowledge have been relegated to the same position as the rest of the public, which is, you know, send your comments. And so we sent these highly detailed comments, and we're one, you know, they become one of 70,000 comments, which the DEC may deal with or not, and how they deal with it, we don't know. By contrast, the industry has had a reciprocal conversation throughout this whole process. So they submit their comments, but then they also get to have meetings, they get same-day responses to emails. They're invited to talk about these things, and that's a whole different level of engagement than the stonewalling that the people with actual science and economic data and elected officials themselves have received in this process.
You go on to state, we're going to get to Dominic in a minute, but Sandra, you in the letter, you go on to state that we write to express our complete loss of faith in the Department of Environmental Conservation. The agency has not only colluded with the gas industry, both this agency has colluded with the gas industry. Now, both industry and the DEC have denied any collusion. They also both insist they had to meet in order to produce accurate regulations. How do you respond to that?
Well, they're also trying to produce accurate science. And so you would imagine that those of us who have science to offer would also get to have meetings with either the DEC or the governor's office. So this letter was written, you know, scientists and economists and those of us who deal in data, we don't tend to be the types who are jumping up around and up and down and screaming. So we come to this letter after a long, frustrating process. And so the group of us who signed have been trying to get an audience with the governor for some time. And so the letter comes after no one has responded to our many requests to share the knowledge that we have.
Dominic, are you? Do you feel marginalized as well? I mean, you're one of the signatories.
I'm speaking on for myself as an elected official, and in the town of Caroline, when we work on public process, we are committed to having an open and transparent and democratic process. That's how the public has faith in what any issue that we're working on, and so we invite all of the stakeholders to the table to offer all of their expertise, and so are very concerned when we see that that the industry has been, as Sandra said, rolled out the red carpet and had exclusive access and communication with the DEC and scientists and elected officials who are going to be dealing with, as the boots on the ground, dealing with the threats to first responders, the threats to our water supplies, the threats to our roads. Have not had an opportunity to sit down and really work out those issues and work out our concerns in a comprehensive way with the DEC.
As I'm sure that you have heard, there are many DEC officials and industry representatives who would say, oh, we've been doing this for so long. All of the issues have been addressed ad nauseum. How can you say that not all of the issues have been addressed? This has been going on forever. How do you respond to that?
Well, the elected officials to protect New York and now over 333 signatories from over 40 counties across the state have signed on this letter responding to exactly that, which is saying that the following independent studies have not yet been completed: a comprehensive health impact study that looks at the entire extraction process, a very thorough analysis that considers all the negative socioeconomic impacts, including impacts on local governments and law enforcement, property values, businesses and economies, and a study of the cumulative impacts, including, you know, what are the impacts of doing this on a scale throughout New York State on our water, our air, greenhouse gas emissions, and wastewater as well? Those studies have not been adequately addressed, and that's our metric for what would be a thorough analysis of fracking in New York.
Like on many contentious issues, Sandra, there are extremes on all sides of this issue. The scientists seem to be sometimes saying that they've been marginalized, sort of lumped in with some anti-gas drilling environmentalists who are, you know, all the way on the left side of the spectrum, and, you know, these are extremists. How does that make you feel?
Well, it contrasts with my experience, Susan, in other public policy fora. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to serve on President Clinton's National Action Plan on Breast Cancer and review breast cancer data for the state of California as a science advisor, and have written some pretty monumental reports, you know, kind of analogous to the ESGUIs. I've had a chance to kind of edit some of those, including a 500-page document for the California Breast Cancer Research Program and so when we do that process, we specifically seek out the best scientists we know who have data both already published and in the pipeline, and we gather them together as in expert groups to talk about them. We also rely on peer-reviewed data, and when we edit a chapter that might, you know, summarize what the state of New York might want to do about breast cancer, we send those chapters themselves out to peer review. That has not been the process of the ESGUIs. I've never seen a document that claims to be science that is going to be the guiding so-called scientific document that the governor will use, and claiming he's listening to science, that is so unscientific. So our point here with this letter is to say, you know, Governor Cuomo, you can't say you're listening to science if the scientists have not themselves been listened to, nor their data been included.
So what can Governor Cuomo do to make you feel that you've all been heard, regardless of the outcome? What is it that you would like to see from the administration? What kind of reaching out?
There's two things that we're asking for in this letter. One is to maintain the moratorium until the true science can really be sorted out on this. And the second is we're calling for the resignation of Bradley Field, who is the director of the DEC's Division of Mineral Resources, who is the man who's kind of the chief who's overseen the scientific review process. We have no confidence in Field. He is on record as denying the demonstrable harm of climate change, and we believe that alone makes him unqualified to lead the DEC's review of science, because clearly he's not a believer in scientific evidence. And Dominic, who has so much experience in climate change, might want to comment more on that.
Sure, and this goes back to our point with climate scientists or scientists studying hydraulic fracturing and the climate impacts who have not yet had an opportunity to have an audience in Albany, although having international audiences. And why is that? Why does it have anything to do with that the head of the mining division is a public denier of climate change science? And you know, how can someone leading our state's review process of fracking be credible when they're dismissing the conclusions of 98% of scientists studying an issue that's directly related? It's like placing someone in charge of regulating the tobacco industry who doesn't believe in lung cancer.
We are out of time, but I want to say that the letter to Governor Cuomo is on our website, capitalbureau.org. Sondra Steingraber, Dominic Frangillo, thank you both very much.